In just a moment, we're going to be looking at Proverbs 22. We're going to be looking at several Proverbs this morning as we think about how we might use our money. In this lesson, we want to try to answer the question or think about the question, is money good or bad? Hopefully, we probably understand that money by itself has no inherent morality. But I think sometimes, maybe misquoting Scripture, some might say that money is the root of all evil. But we've probably gone back and remembered that what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 is that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is really a problem. Money can be a blessing from God, but there is a danger. So there is maybe a yes and no side of this question to look at. And if we're going to use our money for good, we're going to have to be aware of the danger it poses. People fall in love with it and become driven by it, and it can be very destructive to themselves, to the people around them. If we begin here in Proverbs 22, what we would have to admit is that money is a blessing. In verse 4, Solomon says, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." When people are humble, when people live lives of reverence and respect for God, Solomon says that is a pathway to blessing. And part of that may just be the fact that God knows the best way for us to live here. So if we will live humbly before Him and listen to what He says, we can expect to experience good things in this world. We can expect to experience some good things just by living for God, because He knows the best way for us to live even in this world. Wealth can be obtained illegitimately, though. And so wealth in and of itself is not just, hey, I've got money, so I'm obviously favored, I'm doing some things well. Not necessarily. And wealth that is gained illegitimately, well, the Proverbs tell us back in chapter 10 that, well, that is even more uncertain than riches already are. A wealth that is gained apart from justice. There's all kinds of reasons that that is not good for us. Ill-gotten gains do not profit, or the wages of unrighteousness do not profit. But righteousness will deliver you from death, there in verse 2. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but He will reject the craving of the wicked. So ill-gotten gain can put us in even more jeopardy than we might be otherwise in the world already. But God has put us in this world where the general rule of life is reaping and sowing. If you sow, you will reap. And if you the more you sow, the more you have a chance of reaping. Even when this order may temporarily be out of balance, Proverbs talks about the Lord sustaining the righteous. When the order may be out of balance and sowing and reaping doesn't work like it used to or it's supposed to, notice verse 3. The Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger, but He will reject the craving of the wicked. So God blesses the humble and the reverent. And one of the ways that He blesses the humble and the reverent is with money, riches, Solomon said in Proverbs 22 there in verse 4. And so if money is a blessing from God, it can't be wrong to have wealth. It can't be wrong to save money. A lot of ways that, because of a misunderstanding of 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, there's a lot of ways that people talk about money and people who have it like they must be bad. No. Some might even say that, you know, planning for the future and saving money, well, that's a lack of trust in God. Let's look at some of the things that the Bible says, though, in Proverbs 21. Is it really a lack of trust in God to save? Well, in verse 20, he says there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man swallows it up. You see, there's in this sowing and reaping world, both have access to treasures and oil, but the foolish man swallows it up. There's no thought of saving, no thought of restraint. In Proverbs 25 and verse 16, a proverb here that seems to be counseling us to save, to exercise restraint. Have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you do not have it in excess and vomit it. I didn't keep these bees. I didn't expect, but now I found honey. This is food. This is a resource. It's valuable. Well, eat only what you need, implying that some would be saved. Giving and sharing are part of God's plan for our money, but it's not wrong to save. In fact, this is how the average person will accumulate wealth. They'll save some of what they have. They'll save and they'll hold back, and it will begin to accumulate more and more, and there will be sometimes maybe what we call a nest egg left. In Proverbs 13 and verse 22, Solomon talks about leaving an inheritance to your children. That's what a righteous man does. It's not an evil thing to do that. So it cannot be wrong to have wealth or to save. It's a blessing. And the Bible counsels restraint in the use of our money. But if money is a blessing, if we're going to avoid the trap of falling into the love of money, then we're going to have to let God's wisdom direct how we use it in order for it to continue to be a blessing to us. And here's some things that the Proverbs say. Here's the wisdom of the Proverbs for our money. In chapter 3, in verses 9 and 10, that we would give. That we would give of our first fruits. That we would not consider or think of giving to God after we've already, done everything and got everything that we want. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And what will happen? The Lord will continue to bless you. Look at verse 10. Your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with a new wine. When people, lose all their money, you don't hear this story. I don't think we remember. This hasn't become the cautionary tale in our society. Well, I gave too much. I was just giving and giving, and I gave too much. That's not the problem. The problem is when we don't exercise restraint, when we don't think of our money as something to be used for good, and especially something that we would use to honor God. Honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce, and your barns will be filled with plenty. So honor the Lord with our first fruits. That is the wisdom of the Lord. Providing for our families. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy 5? If one does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. He has denied the faith. The Lord tells us to use our money to provide for those in our families. In verse 16 there, he talks about believers who have widows taking care of the widows in their family. Proverbs 21, we've already read this. The idea of the foolish or the wicked swallowing up good treasures. Squandering them, using them only for ourselves or only for our desires. There's precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up, gobbles it up, squanders it. So there's the wisdom of God for our money. Honor the Lord with our first fruits. Provide for our family. Don't be wasteful. And then finally, here in chapter 21 still, I think in verse 25. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death. His hand refuses to work. All day he is craving. The righteous gives and does not hold back. You see, the sluggard finds himself in this, or even the wasteful man finds himself in this cycle of working, and you know, he just swallows everything up, doesn't save, no restraint, and then as hard as he works, he never seems to have everything that he needs. While in verse 26, the righteous is able to give, and to give without restraint. Ephesians 4:28, Paul talks about the one who stole, don't steal anymore. Labor with your hands, so that you may have something for yourself and you may be able to share something with someone in need. So that's God's wisdom and plan for our money, that we would honor Him, we would provide for our families, we would not be wasteful, and we would share with those who might be in need. Money is a blessing. I think we realize this. Sometimes it can be hard to accept this or be content with this, put this into practice, but I think we realize that there are some things that are better than money. Some things probably that are even more important to us than money. One of the things that the Bible talks about is righteousness. You just look right there in verse 22 and verse 1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. In verse chapter 16 and verse 8, better is a little, Solomon says, with the fear of the Lord. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Better is a little with righteousness. Money can be a blessing, but it can also be acquired illegitimately. And wealth that is acquired apart from justice, as we read here, income within justice, there's all kinds of problems with that. First of all, if we still have any shred of a conscience left, we're going to feel guilty about having that money every day that we have it, if it was acquired illegitimately. We're going to be guilty before God for the sin of the injustice or extorting it from whoever we might have extorted it from. Illegitimate gain carries with it the possibility of legal troubles if our illegitimate gain is discovered. End up losing it all anyway and maybe even going to jail. If we take money illegitimately, we may make ourselves a target for revenge. We've taken from someone else, and now someone may come after us trying to take what we have taken illegitimately. And there's just not enough money in the world to restore a good name that has been ruined by a sinful life, by an unrighteous life. You get a real scandal out there and you see that, and it happens to people like you and me too, but we see it a lot of times. We get a real scandal out there. There's a lot of fake scandals out there, but some of them are real. And if a scandal is ever discovered to be real, that person's done. I mean, they're done in the public arena. That's it. There's not enough money to buy their way back in to the public arena. Righteousness is better than money. Peace is better than money. Do we believe this? In chapter 17 there, verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. Better is a dry morsel and quietness with it. Chapter 15 in verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Money doesn't necessarily make people happy. Now, to be sure, there are many enjoyable things that can be done with money. There's a lot of enjoyment that can come from money. But without the proper perspective, wealth can create anxiety, contention and fighting, and a lot of times a sense of being without purpose. I've got all this money, what am I supposed to do with it? I've got all this money, what would I have to show for it? What do I have in my life that really matters? Because wealth can be lost, stuff gets old, maybe even people just get bored with stuff. And people want things that really are meaningful, really lasting. They want love in their lives. They want companionship. They want peace. They want hope. Peace is better than money. Wisdom is better than money. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. You know, what Proverbs is largely about, especially throughout, but really the first nine chapters are like a speech of a father to a son. Solomon is talking to some son specifically, or either just from the standpoint of as a writing device, as a father. This is what a father would say to a son. This is wisdom. This is how to live your life. Learn how to fear the Lord. Learn how to avoid these regrets later in life. And money that is misused will certainly be thought of with regret by those who misuse it and lose it. Oh, what did I do? Why did I do that? I had money. I should have saved some. What did I do? But if you look in Proverbs 3, what you see is that wisdom is a means by which we may actually acquire wealth and maintain peace and righteousness. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. But look at what you have if you have wisdom. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. See the process. You get a lot of money, you may not have happiness, peace, wisdom, or a good reputation. But if you get wisdom, you can have all those things and have material things in this life because you have wisdom to use God's money and God's ways, to exercise restraint, to realize money is just a tool. It is not a goal to be lived for. And that's where the danger comes in. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. The Proverbs tell us that money is or can be a danger. When it is taken out of its proper place, something that can be a blessing, and you know that happens all the time. Something that could be good in a certain setting is taken out of that setting and elevated to a ridiculous place, and it becomes a terrible burden. Proverbs 28 and verse 20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. I'm gonna figure out a way to beat the system. You know, this sowing, reaping system, I'm gonna figure out a way to beat it. And a person who is driven that way, motivated that way, Proverbs says it's not going to go well for you. There are some built-in consequences when we make money our goal. First of all, meaningful relationships will not take a backseat to money. Your spouse, your children, your friends, they all know that they're more important than money. You are more important to them than money because they have a relationship. They have something, you know, lasting, companionship, love. You put your spouse on the back burner for money. You put your kids on the back burner for money and for work. You put your friends on the back burner. Let me tell you, you won't have them. You make money your goal. You say, I'm going to beat the system. No. What do we say about illegitimate gain? This idea, hey, I'm going to beat the sowing and reaping system. Well, a lot of times what we may end up doing, and a very good chance what we'll end up doing, is something that's not legitimate. And illegitimate gain will not escape detection forever. If we get caught extorting money, that can affect our relationship. So, hey, Maybe we extorted some money and we thought we had it all. We had the money and we were able to keep our relationships because I didn't have to go through the process of sowing and reaping. But then it all comes crashing down because it was illegitimate. And then here we are trying to put the pieces back together. We can't get work. We can't get people to trust us again. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 27. He who profits illicitly troubles his own house. But he who hates bribes will live. We see that happening to people. They try to beat the sowing and reaping system. They try to hasten to get rich. They put relationships on the back burner maybe, and maybe they end up with some money. They've lost all the things that were more important. Maybe they got caught bending the rules, and now their money's gone, and they can't hardly find a job to put bread on the table. Wealth can lead to a sinful spirit of self-reliance. Look in Proverbs chapter 28 there in verse 11. Proverbs 28 and verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding examines him. Wise in his own eyes. He forget, maybe here's a man who was once a faithful man. He forgets the struggles. He forgets the prayers. He forgets the times when he didn't know how he was going to make it from one point to the next. The Lord brought him through. He kept sowing and reaping. He kept prioritizing the Lord. He gets to a point, now he's wealthy, and he says, look at what I've done. Moses talked about that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, now when the Lord brings you into this land, and you're going to live in these houses that you didn't build, and you're going to eat the fruit of these vineyards that you didn't plant, and you're going to be drinking water out of wells that you didn't dig, you're going to be living a blessed and comfortable life. Don't forget the 40 years in the wilderness when the Lord fed you day by day with bread when you didn't have anything except what the Lord gave you to bring you through to this point. Don't suddenly receive the Lord's blessings and say, look at what I did. You've struggled to get here. It's been a struggle of faith. We could do nothing if it were not for God's kindness. And we ought to never become so proud that we forget the help that we have received. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. The grace of God made it possible. It was the grace of God with me. How can we balance the need to work with the need to avoid materialism? There are a few things that we'll look at. First of all, be thankful for what we have every day. There's the thing with kind of having some things in the present. We've got a little money in the bank. We've got a little food in the pantry. And we might forget the struggles of the past that brought us here. And we might suddenly start looking into the future. Well, I've got enough food for this week. I've got enough money for next week. I'm set. And we start forgetting that everything could change in a moment. So as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray this way. Give us each day our daily bread. Yeah, I know it's in the pantry right now and there's enough for tomorrow. But thank you for today's bread. And tomorrow, if I'm eating again, thank you for tomorrow's bread. Be thankful to God for what we have every day. Part of that, I think, includes actually living for God. actually, you know, putting our money to use the way God tells us to put it to use, but actually living and being the people that God wants us to be, to try to do the things that God wants us to do, to have our lives transformed by His Word, to be those who worship the giver of good gifts, to be those who are growing spiritually. Be thankful to God for what we have every day. Don't work for things. Sometimes maybe someone finds the motivation to work in this idea. I don't care about stuff. I don't care about money. Well, there's still some things that need to be done. Some work that needs to be done. There needs to be sustaining of your family if you have a family. If you are able to work, the Lord through you can use you to help others who might be in need. So don't work for things. Work for what am I working for? Maybe someone says, I don't care about money. I don't care about things. Okay, work for people. Don't steal. Labor with your hands so that you might have something for yourself, but also something to share with someone who is in need. How about working for God? Colossians chapter 3. Again, maybe someone says, imagine you're a slave. I don't care anything about this work. I'm not reaping what I deserve to reap from the seed that I'm sowing. Why should I, work hard? Why should I, be careful with money or have an attitude that is thankful or respectful or reverent? Work for God. How could the slave rejoice in his work? Focus on the reward that he would receive from the Lord. He says in verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. How can I avoid making money my goal? Never work just for money. Work for the Lord. And know that whatever money I receive will be according to His wisdom and will be subject to His wisdom in my life. And then finally, I would say, remain humble. Day by day, as we go out into the world where sowing and reaping is generally the rule, I think we're also aware that sometimes the order gets upset. And so we go out and maybe sowing and reaping is not working the way it used to. And yet those who put their trust in the Lord find themselves sustained. In Psalm 127, this is a song of Solomon. Solomon says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors. For He gives to His beloved even in His sleep. Solomon says, do your work, yeah. But trust in the Lord and thank the Lord when something is produced by that work. Because every good gift comes down from above. So if money is a blessing, if the products of what we have sown are a blessing, we live in a world surrounded by people who would steal, who would kill, who would extort. And as we are able to provide and have our needs provided for day by day, it's by the providence of the Lord. He gives us those things. We will thank Him. We will honor Him with what He blesses us with. And we will make sure that we continue to live for Him. Money is not our goal. So is money good or bad? Well, it definitely can be a blessing and can be used to honor the Lord. But there is also a danger. It's easy to fall into the trap of loving money because it provides us immediate pleasure. It's easy to fall into the trap of, well, look how well I have done, and forget to thank the Lord and forget all the difficult times that the Lord brought us through. There are some things that are better than money. Peter talked about the precious blood of Jesus that is able to redeem our souls from sin. We weren't redeemed with corruptible things like gold and silver. Those things couldn't pay the price for our sins. So money has its limits. But Jesus died for you and for me because he loves us. He wants us to redeem us from the bondage of our sin. And if you're here this morning, you've never become a Christian. We hope that you'll respond to the Lord's invitation today. We urge you, we implore you, become a Christian. Live for Jesus. Put all your trust in him. Let your life be changed by him and guided by him. And have the hope of eternal life. We want to rejoice with you. You may be here as a Christian and there's something in your life that you need help with. You want us to pray with you. Maybe there's something you feel like you need to talk about. We would help you and pray with you as well. Whatever your need may be, we ask you to come as we sing together.